place to guarantee that corporations and not the people pony up the funds needed to do this, cities like Portland will inevitably have to foot the bill or a large part of it. So as more infrastructure is built, this potential liability rises as well. Add to this the chronic underinsurance and financial and economic risks associated with accidents, spills, and explosions, it's clear that new fossil fuel infrastructure has become a very risky proposition. Number two, the cost of meeting the climate action plan. Portland's status as a climate action champion hinges upon successful implementation of its cap, but routine approval of new fossil fuel infrastructure subverts the cap goals and makes it significantly more expensive to achieve, for example, by facilitating expansion of automobile-dependent communities throughout Metro and growth in transportation sector emissions, which, as you know, is the weak link in Portland's cap. This means that in order to meet other cap goals, we have to squeeze greater and greater efficiencies out of other sectors. Expenses grow exponentially in this situation. Number three, the cost of climate change. The whole motivation behind new fossil fuel infrastructure is to both respond to and foster growth in consumption, the opposite of what the cap seeks to promote. And growth anywhere in the world helps grow the enormous bill expected from climate change, something in the order of $300 trillion by many models. Portland should no longer be an accomplice in growing this debt. Generations down the line will have to pay. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, you've raised the Superfund issue in a way that I think hasn't been well articulated, so I appreciate that. I mean, Commissioner Fish and I spent a great deal of time on Portland's Superfund liability, and, you know, the Superfund used to be a fund. Now it's not. It's just a mandate from the federal government to clean up often orphaned sites, and I don't frankly expect that funding situation to improve, so I appreciate you making that point so clearly.
I appreciate your point, and as we continue to build new fossil fuel infrastructure, that liability and risk continues to grow, which is why we have to stop it right here.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next three are Randy Camp, Rob DeDellens, sorry, and Gregory Monahan, and they'll be followed by Julie Chapman, Claudia Keith, and Dr. Theodora Tsongas.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Howdy. My name is Gregory Monahan. I'm a resident of Portland for the last 20 years. I'm speaking on behalf of my grandchildren and my children who all live here in Portland. I have 2 points I want to raise, and I'd like to get a response from the council. The first is that it's unclear to me whether and there's going to be a vote on both resolutions today. And
yeah, get a little closer. There you go.
It's unclear to me, and I think others, whether or not both resolutions will be voted on today, and I wish you'd clarify that. The second thing I would say, if I could be so bold as to speak for the supporters of this resolution, we'd much rather have the vote taken today than to keep saying how bad this it would be to not approve these resolutions. I think our youth and our community leaders have been extremely eloquent about that. So those are my 2 points.
Okay. Well, I think we'll try to give you some clarity about that as the hearing goes on. We wanted to give as many people as possible an opportunity to speak, and we wanted to make sure that council members that wanted to propose amendments or get questions answered got a chance to do that. So my objective personally was, and always here at this council, is to reach a very high level of agreement on the council about what we do. It's okay to pass things by a 3-1 or 3-2 vote, but the best way to pass things is unanimously. So frankly, if a full discussion and complete understanding of the amendments enables all of our colleagues to join Commissioner Fritz and me in voting for these, then I'd be prepared to take more time. If that's not necessary, and I think we'll know that a little better in half an hour or so, then it's certainly still possible we could act on both today. It is important that we act on the first of the resolutions today because of timing issues in Vancouver. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, members of the council, my name is Rob DeDellens. I'm the general manager of Lake Railway in Lakeview, Oregon. I live here in Portland, about a quarter mile from the railroad tracks. I'm here to oppose both resolutions before you today. Lake Railway does not transport oil, but I'm very concerned about the overall economic impact these resolutions would have on Portland and the rest of the Pacific Northwest. Portland is and always has been a transportation town. This community has a large industrial base and a lot of high-paying jobs in industries like manufacturing, chemicals, rail transportation, and at the port. These industries would be severely impacted by these resolutions. A lot of good jobs would be lost. In addition to hurting our current industrial base in Portland, these resolutions would dissuade further industrial development in this city and in the region. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, our state has the sixth highest unemployment rate in the nation at 6.2%. The last thing our government should be doing now is chasing away high-paying jobs in industry and in transportation. These types of measures hollow out our middle class and create further income inequality in our society. In summary, these resolutions harm our city's bright future. Instead of just serving a very vocal activist minority, our government should consider those harmed by these measures, such as labor unions and the working class.
Folks, please. Go ahead.
These ill-considered proposals need to be studied more carefully and thoughtfully. I urge you to rethink these resolutions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Honorable Councilman. My name is Randy Camp. I'm from Co-Energy. I'm a small businessman. I have operations in Albany and Redmond, but I felt that there was a need for me to make the trip to Portland because I have some concerns about these resolutions. The resolutions mention it doesn't intend to restrict provisions of service directly to the end user, which I presume that would include propane customers. However, this resolution could restrict service, especially if we have what we had a couple years ago in the winter, the polar vortex, or if our neighboring states happen to use an enormous amount of propane for crop drying, which has happened in the past. At that time, I had customers that didn't necessarily go without propane, but I couldn't get propane to them in the quantities they needed because there wasn't enough propane to support taking care of those customers in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, with that in mind, the state's ability to transition to greener fuels also would restrict propane, auto gas, as well as natural gas as motor fuel. It's been brought up here a little earlier. Propane is a huge part of this country's move away from foreign oil. By reducing the amount of gasoline and diesel used in this country through switching to their fleets to propane or natural gas, which is a much better for our environment and our economy. I oppose the resolution 1157. Please vote no for this resolution. It casts a cloud over Portland's economic future, and many unintended consequences could be affected, not only in the state but in the region. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Hey, welcome. Appreciate you coming in. Okay, let's hear from the next three folks, please.
Are Julie Chapman, Claudia Keith, and Dr. Theodora Sungus, and they'll be followed by Chris Fontaine, Don Steinke, and Alana Steinke.
For those who are standing in the lower chamber, there are now seats upstairs if you're interested in going up there.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Can I start? Okay.
Yes, just pull that microphone close as you can there. There you go.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Dr. Theodora Sungus, an environmental health scientist retired from the Oregon Health Division and formerly adjunct associate professor of community health at Portland State University. This past September was the hottest globally in recorded history, and 2015 is on track to be the hottest year globally in 160 years of recording. Thank you. Seeing it as a major threat to civilization, 200 countries will demand action on climate change at the upcoming international meeting in Paris. Many world leaders in medical, public health, and scientific bodies have expressed deep concerns about climate change as a threat to human health and well-being, and are speaking out about these threats with increasing urgency. I've testified before the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on the many hazards to health and safety of propane terminals, and I've supported and congratulated you on the Climate Action Plan. In addition to noting the many climate-changing impacts of the fossil fuel industry, public health professionals have demonstrated that diesel emissions from trains, ships, and supporting infrastructure contribute significantly to the adverse health impacts of air pollution, including asthma, heart and lung disease, cancer, and developmental disorders. Today, the city of Portland can take the national lead on climate policy and protect the health and safety of its residents. The fossil fuel policy resolution and the oil train resolution together show that the city recognizes the exceptional health, safety, environmental, and climate risks associated with transport, storage, and use of coal, oil, propane, and gas. Responsible climate leadership means that there is simply no place for new fossil fuel infrastructure that will lock in decades of dangerous pollution. There is a better way. I'm pleased that Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz have sponsored these policies, and I wholeheartedly support passage by the full City Council of the Fossil Fuel Policy Resolution and the Oil Train Resolution. Please vote yes for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Julie Chapman, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League urges the Council's support of Resolutions 1156 and 1157. Any major increase in fossil fuel industry infrastructure is not consistent with the current League of Women Voters' natural resources and climate change positions, nor with Portland's climate action plan. Both of the proposed resolutions recognize the implications of shipping fossil fuels within the U.S. and for export to foreign ports. The methods of transport and storage are dangerous to public health and safety, and the remote use of fossil fuels has global and local climate effects. For example, a large body of research confirms the significant transfer of atmospheric pollutants from Asia to U.S., and specifically to the Pacific Northwest. Asian pollution accounts for about 20% of the total ozone pollution in the spring in the western states. In a widely cited study from 2014, the authors demonstrate how air pollution in the U.S. is affected by China's production of goods for the American market. Pollution emitted elsewhere does not drift off harmlessly into space, as we know. In order to stay true to Portland's climate action plan, we must take into account the effects of these business decisions. We can ride our bikes to work in the rain, we can use TriMet instead of driving, but unless we adopt a global view of the impact of our local policies have on carbon emissions, we risk fiddling around while Rome burns. We might be designing solar-powered robots in our LEED certified workshops while weather patterns become increasingly extreme and the oceans no longer support the life forms necessary to marine food webs. The League wholeheartedly supports the proposed resolutions, and we hope you all do as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
My name is Claudia Keith. I represent the League of Women Voters, Oregon. Given a number of testimonies that the League of Women Voters, Oregon gave in Salem this last session, we are in total agreement with the testimony supporting both resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Okay. Let's hear for the next three folks, please.
Chris Fontaine, Don Steinke, and Alana Steinke. And they'll be followed by Linda Garcia, Timmy Hessler, and Andy Magg.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to preface my remarks by saying that these remarks have been submitted by Alistair and Janice Roxburgh, Hayden Island residents who are in support of Agenda Items 1156 and 1157. Professor Roxburgh is an EE professor, Chief Systems Engineering Architect in Applied Science and Discrete Math, and he is also one of the founding members of the Northwest Citizen Science Initiatives and author of a two-part, 120-page white paper illuminating the risks of the proposed Pembina propane terminal. Professor Roxburgh's comments have been edited to fit into the testimony time allowed. To Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz, a heartfelt thank you for your wise leadership in opposing the building of new fossil fuel infrastructure in Portland. The predicted devastating Cascadia subduction zone megathrust quake of magnitude 9.0 plus is, according to geological history, an absolute inevitability. The construction of any new transport and storage facilities in the earthquake liquefaction zones along Portland's rivers would add to the already dangerous and explosive situation presented by Portland's existing fossil fuel tank farms, especially on the Willamette. These tank farms are built on water-saturated riverside alluvial fill, subject to an extreme seismic liquefaction threat. The mind boggles at the prospect of the Willamette Tank Farm, let alone an even bigger future version of it, in post-earthquake disarray, burning and exploding. Few tanks, even new ones, can be expected to survive. Given that the seismic liquefaction threat in Portland is arguably the worst in the Cascadian subduction zone, Portland is not a place to expand fossil fuel infrastructure, whether on the Willamette, or at Terminal 6, or across the Columbia River in Vancouver. The coastal areas of Oregon, such as Coos Bays, are no better due to extreme subsidence and tsunami risk. To survive the multiple challenges of climate change and earthquakes, Portland should say no to oil trains and new fossil fuel transport and storage infrastructure. Portland needs to build new business infrastructure that trades in commodities other than highly explosive fossil fuels and on increasing renewable energy, not combustible fossil fuel expansion.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello, thank you. I'm Don Steinke. I'm a retired science teacher from Vancouver. I'd like to begin by thanking you for keeping exploding propane trains out of Spokane, Camas, and Vancouver. There have been at least 14 oil train fires in the last 2.5 years, and 10 exploded. The FRA says the only way to prevent the fireballs is to slow the trains to 12 miles an hour. On March 10 of 2014, the Seattle City Council passed a resolution opposing new oil terminals until the tank cars could be proven safe. A few months later, the Vancouver City Council passed a resolution opposing all oil terminals, period. Then the city of South Portland, Maine, voted to prohibit a crude by rail facility at its port. Yes, life is full of risks, but we have a right to choose which risks we accept and which we don't. Yes, we came in gasoline-powered cars, but our cars use half the gasoline as our previous cars, and our next cars will use far less. Norway plans to ban any new car that requires gasoline by 2025. We don't need to grow the oil industry. The Gorge Commission, the tribes, the firefighters of Vancouver are opposed to oil terminals. So are 30 cities, including Spokane, Stevenson, Washougal, Hood River, the Dalles, and Mosier. 2 months ago, by a vote of 15-0, the Los Angeles City Council passed a resolution opposing an oil terminal that would bring only 5 oil trains per week through their city. The Oregonian ignores the risks, but you don't need to. I urge you to join South Portland, Maine, Los Angeles, Vancouver, and 30 other local cities throughout in opposing the fossil fuel infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Alona Steinke. I'm a retired RN and one of your neighbors from Vancouver. I was born and raised in Portland and graduated from the Good Samaritan Hospital School of Nursing. It was that long ago. You've already heard so many good reasons to approve the resolutions before you. The unsafe cars, derailments, spills, fires, and explosions. The poisoning of our air by the increasing amount of diesel emissions, which results in higher rates of cancer, heart attack, stroke, and asthma. There are the issues of overcrowded rails and big oil's callous disregard for the safety and well-being of their workers. This is not just a Portland issue. The health and welfare of all the communities along the rail route are at stake. Please join the following who have also passed resolutions of concern and opposition to oil trains and terminals. The City Councils of Westport, Ocean Shores, Hoquiam, Aberdeen, Montesano, Alma, Bainbridge Island, Edmonds, the Quinault Nation, the Port of Olympia, and the Columbia Waterfront LLC, and 14 neighborhood associations and 101 Vancouver businesses. Last night, Vancouver again spoke up against the oil terminal by electing Eric LeBrant to the Vancouver Port Commission. Portland and Vancouver share the same air and the same great river. Did you know that our beautiful Columbia River has been designated the second most endangered river in the nation? Our air is being poisoned, and our cities are in danger of failing to meet air quality standards. It's urgent that we transition away from fossil fuels and into a future where we have clean water and air that doesn't make us sick, a future that is safe for our children, grandchildren, and generations to come. I urge you to pass these resolutions.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
May I leave these with...
Yes, please. Just leave with Carla and make sure we get copies. Thank you.
The next three are Linda Garcia, Timmy Hessler, and Andy Magg. And they will be followed by Patricia Bellamy, Kelly O'Hanley, and Kristen Sharan.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First, I'd like to thank you all for listening with open minds to everybody here today and for giving me the opportunity to speak in favor of these resolutions. I know you've heard a lot of statistics today from many large organizations and businesses, but I'm here to speak about community.
Oh, just give us your name again, please.
Linda Garcia.
Linda.
Commissioner Fish, you mentioned earlier the need for a study on livability. I'd like to address that as a resident of Fruit Valley, the closest neighborhood to the proposed oil terminal in Vancouver, Washington. Fruit Valley is an amazing place filled with people who care, who want the best life for their families and for their neighbors. It is a blue-collar, hardworking community that will rise up to fight when needed. In 2013, we entered the biggest fight we've ever encountered when Tesoro Savage proposed the largest oil terminal in North America. If sited, this terminal will be less than 1 mile from my home. And from the moment it goes online, it will put massive amounts of poisonous gases into the air. The amounts of those are listed in the FSEC papers. Every minute, every day, from the second that it starts up, this is what we're facing. I've said it before, and I will keep saying it until people start listening and people start hearing. There is no invisible wall around Fruit Valley or Vancouver, for that matter. What is emitted from that terminal will permeate the air within neighborhoods and communities throughout the Vancouver and Portland region. We don't want to knowingly endanger our families, our children, or our neighbors. And I'm sure I speak for so many when I say we have expectations for those who represent us to protect us, our livability, and our futures. Mayor Hales, you stated earlier today, the world is at a turning point, and we have a chance to make a difference. I appreciate you stating that. I encourage all of you to consider it and listen to those who are speaking here today. Please approve these resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dr. Tim Helzer. I'm a resident of Portland, professor of quantitative and qualitative research methods, and a co-founder of Northwest Citizen Science Initiative. Northwest Citizen Science Initiative is a Portland-based association of civic leaders, scientists, engineers, environmental researchers using valid and reliable scientific methods to study and report on serious challenges to our systems of livability and sustainability across the Pacific Northwest. Here's the problem, as you well know. Since 2013, fossil fuel train disasters in North America have increased, and Portland, Vancouver has been playing, as we've heard numerous times today, Russian roulette with the rail transporters and manufacturers, testing agencies, and congressional oversight committees. Hundreds of fossil fuel rail car wrecks with major incidents across Canada and the United States. Portland and Vancouver may be next. Date to be determined. Portland has become a beta site, a testing site for the industry. The causes? National Transportation Safety Board reports serious design flaws in all rail tank cars, including DOT 111, DOT 112J, and DOT 117. the couples don't work very well. They've tried to make some fixes. Those fixes have forced those couplers to snap off and become rams to these container cars. We have a manufacturer here in Gunderson who's building some of those tank cars. I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm grateful for their jobs and the things that they contribute to our society. But you need to be proactive in what they're doing and take a look at improving what they're doing. And I think a beginning first step is passing these two resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Andy Magi. I'm the director of the Sierra Club here in Oregon, and I'm proud to be representing our thousands of members that reside here in the city and our volunteers. Thank you all for having us here this afternoon and evening to discuss what is a critically important issue to our community, neighborhoods, and region. I also want to take this moment to thank all the volunteers and organizations who've made this possible. Groups like 350 PDX, Columbia Riverkeepers, Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Audubon Society, Climate Action Coalition, and our tribal partners and businesses. I want to applaud the leadership of Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz and offer my encouragement to the other commissioners to join them in supporting these two resolutions today. This is not a new issue. The negative impacts of climate change driven by the burning of fossil fuels are well documented. The health and safety risks of fossil fuels and its infrastructure and transport to local communities are well documented. And perhaps more importantly, the City of Portland has had for some time a climate action plan. Its newest version passed in June of this year, and that plan calls on the city to develop and establish a fossil fuel policy like the one you're considering today. What we do in Portland matters. Leaders from across the country will watch what we do here today and look for local strategies to push back on fossil fuels in their communities. Nor are you alone. The Safe Energy Leadership Alliance is a group of local elected officials who recognize the significant threats and impacts coal and oil transport brings to their communities. And when proposals emerged, they came together to use their local authority to protect those communities and represent and even say no in some cases. From the Northwest to the Gulf Coast, local elected officials are taking action on climate. We at the Sierra Club encourage you to do the same today, and thank you for your time.
Andy, since you've waited so long, can I ask you a question?
You may.
So we've gotten some emails or letters from people that have raised a question about the Hales resolution in the context of the governor's, the state's clean fuels program. And so I want to separate out coal, oil, and coke, and to put that off to the side, and just ask you about natural gas and propane, because we've got enough inquiries about this. I want to give you a chance to respond. Under the state clean fuels program, there is an explicit encouragement that we're going to move to a cleaner energy future by using so-called bridge fuels. And there's a specific encouragement that we're going to displace diesel consumption with natural gas and propane. In fact, we have locally a manufacturer of heavy industrial trucks that's moving to a natural gas powered fleet. How do we reconcile the action taken by the state through that program with the prohibition in the Hales resolution about infrastructure for propane and natural gas?
Thank you for the question. I'll be the first to admit that I am not an expert on the specific language of the bill, the clean fuels.
I'm asking as a matter of policy.
Yeah, I think the point here is I think what we're talking about today is the need to move beyond traditional fossil fuels, the need to bring about cleaner fuels, more renewable energy. No one is arguing that in the short term we're not going to continue to use some fossil fuels or some forms of energy. And I think that these two things can coexist in the same world. I don't think there's a prohibition on cleaner fuels in Mayor Hale's resolution.
Yeah, I had a comment. Your question was, how do we put these two together?
How do you reconcile what the state is encouraging us to do?
I understand. Thank you. The state has been ill-advised in preparing their position, and I think it's an opportunity for the City Council to make a significant correction in that. We have provided to the City Council, as well as to the state, our white paper, parts 1 and 2, on Pembina. You've all had copies. You all have discs on that. And I recommend that you look at it, because propane is not a clean fuel. It is not a safe fuel. And for you to go down that track, it will blow you up.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay.
The next three are Patricia Bellamy, Kelly O'Hanley, and Kristen Sheeran. And they'll be followed by Jim Hauser, Paul Spindell, and Gwen Sullivan.
And after those folks, I think I'm going to take a process check here. So go ahead, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak and urge you to support this binding fossil fuels resolutions. I'm here for many reasons. I'm a great-grandmother and a 30-year resident of our beautiful city of Portland. I'm worried about climate change and my dear grandchildren's future health and safety. I also have 40 years' experience as an RN caring for heart and lung patients. Nurses are worried about multiple mile-long diesel oil and coal trains rumbling through our cities, communities, and countrysides. These dirty trains spewing out soot and toxic fumes known to cause cancer, heart and lung diseases, and risks of fire and explosions from oil trains, just to mention a few health hazards. I'm also a member of the Oregon Nurses Association, ONA, which has over 10,000 RN members. ONA has sent a letter to Governor Kay Brown urging her to continue to support Oregon's no to coal exports. I'm also a nurse in the Sierra Club's Beyond Cold Health Outreach. Sierra Club's Beyond Coal and partners have retired 205 coal plants, but there is still much to do. Coal is the single largest contributor to environmental CO2. These resolutions are steps in decreasing CO2 and thus climate change. Nurses know climate change will bring many extreme risks to our citizens' health and safety. Risks from vector-borne diseases to food scarcities from floods, droughts, and rising sea levels. Vote yes on these resolutions. You have a real opportunity to show leadership on how communities and cities can impact climate change and keep our communities safe. Thank you again.
Thank you. Welcome.
In the interest of time, I'll truncate my remarks.
Give us your name.
I will. thank you for allowing me to speak, thank you for considering these resolutions. My name is Dr. Kelly O'Hanley. I am representing Greenpeace USA and its thousands of members here in Portland. It takes climate leadership by the people and those who represent them to make necessary peaceful transition to a clean energy future. The type of leadership Portland can show today, right here in these city chambers. At a time when Oregon and the Pacific Northwest are under assault by fossil fuel industry, currently facing 27 or 28 proposed projects that would power climate chaos, the City of Roses can be that beacon of light, setting an important example for other cities, while joining in solidarity with those who have already taken climate actions. To stop dangerous fossil fuel projects in Portland that put our environment and community at great risk takes bold climate leadership. Please take a stand to protect the sacred by passing these resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, Mayor Hills and members of the City Council. My name is Dr. Kristen Sheeran. I'm here as Oregon State Director of Climate Solutions. We're a regional nonprofit working to accelerate practical and profitable solutions to climate change. I've submitted our comments online for the record, so I'll be brief because I know others that are waiting. As a core member of the Stand Up to Oil Coalition and as a central player in the Power Pass Coal Coalition opposing coal export in Oregon and Washington, Climate Solutions strongly opposes expansion of coal and oil transportation, storage, and export facilities in Portland. You've heard many of the reasons, moral, environmental. and economic, and I'll just touch on some of the economic ones I think haven't been mentioned here today. The tide of global energy investments turning around us. The cost of renewables continues to fall dramatically. For example, the cost of wind power in the U.S. is now cost competitive with coal and other fossil fuels and will continue to decline. U.S. oil firms are reporting sharply lower profits. The U.S. coal industry is in decline, and though many are unaware, coal imports in major Asian coal-consuming countries is falling dramatically as well. The clean energy revolution is underway, and the investments in renewable energy must be ramped up in our city and in our world to transition to a low-carbon future now. Investing in long-lived, capital-intensive coal power infrastructure and oil infrastructure will irrevocably lock us into a global emissions trajectory that guarantees catastrophic climate change. Portland and the Northwest have been and should remain a leader in the transition from fossil fuels to a clean energy economy. Proponents of coal and oil infrastructure project a false choice between environmental protection and the economy and jobs. Pioneers in energy efficiency, renewable energy, and sustainable fuels call the city of Portland, the state of Oregon, and the Northwest home for a reason. We can succeed economically by innovating, commercializing, and marketing energy strategies that reduce fossil fuel dependence, promote clean development, and deliver real climate solutions. Thank you for your continued bold leadership on climate and clean energy.
Thank you. Thanks for your advocacy. Let's call the next three, and then we'll take a pause and check on some
timing. Jim Hauser, Paul Spindle, and Gwen Sullivan.
Come on up.
Oh, you quote it, Gwen Sullivan.
I'm standing up for Gwen.
Oh, you don't look at all like
it. I don't like it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, I'm Jeff Geisler. I'm not Tim Helzer. Tim already testified. I am the current chair of Hayden Island Neighborhood Network, High Noon. I'm also a co-sponsor of the Northwest Citizen Science Initiative. And I think, first of all, we want you to know that the North Portland neighborhoods all support both of these amendments, or the resolutions. High Noon took that direction months ago, and the North Portland chairs followed us. So it's time again for a new direction. Lewis and Clark had Sacagawea for a guide, interpreter, and to follow directions. Today we have Siri. Might have the same accent, but quite different. Both are qualify for their intelligent assistance, but the difference is most compelling in that Siri relies on electricity and satellite technology. So the two-year journey that Lewis and Clark took can now be completed in 4 days, round trip. This amazing transition was made possible in just 210 years by fossil fuels and technology. You have to admit that. But our earth science teachers have long explained the sources of energy are finite, and indeed we should not exhaust these resources but find new ones, and we must stop living on this planet as though we have a spare planet in our back pocket. And more importantly, I guess, to the issues today, try to cut this back in time, but the transport and storage of fossil fuels in this Northwest region is just really in the wrong place. I won't say any more. I've got the written testimony, but I think the kids actually did a great job.
They were wonderful.
They covered everything from the seismic problems and everything else. But I would like to say I think it's courageous that you wrote these resolutions. I think that you are looking for an intelligent way to implement them and to encourage our current businesses to stay in business, but to find new businesses and new sources of energy. I think that's to be applauded. We appreciate that. And one last comment. We are fighting a terrible odor problem from the oil re-refineries on Hayden Island. It's from ORCO and APES, APES, curiously, interesting acronym, but we do need your help.
So thank you very much. Thanks. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Thanks for taking our testimony today. And thanks for the segue, by the way. My name is Ned Haskell, and I'm a teacher at the Metropolitan Learning Center, and I was lucky enough to witness my kids come up here and testify before you today. But I'm standing in for Gwen Sullivan today, who had to go off and run her own executive board meeting, so she sends her regrets. But the message is the same. I'm here on behalf of 4,000 Portland Association of Teachers members who voted unanimously to support the position of 350 PDX, Columbia River Keepers, the Audubon Society, and many other organizations in supporting Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz's propositions. We strongly support the resolutions as written, and we support these resolutions because we don't want our communities put at risk. We support these resolutions to help aid in transitioning to low-carbon energy sources while supporting renewable technology and resources. We support these resolutions for so many reasons that are already stated here, but mostly we support these resolutions on behalf of the children and the children that you saw here today, 11 and 12-year-olds, who, if we look 20 years ahead, they'll be 32 years old in the prime of their career, and they're the ones whose shoulders this falls on. I'm a white hair. I'm surrounded by a couple of white hairs here. I mean, and I'm asking that we lead by example for them. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Well, I guess we're on a theme here. My name is Paul Spindell, and I was here about a month ago when you passed the proclamation for Indigenous Peoples Day, and I was grateful that you took that lead and to see more of that today. I came here today prepared to talk about the Indigenous concept of seven generations, that everything we're doing, are we keeping in mind its impact on seven generations from today? And yet, as I listened to the kids today, I came even to this generation of children. It absolutely made me sad to listen to kids who are 12 years old talking about the pain and anguish that their younger brothers and sisters have about their concerns for the future. If that doesn't touch our hearts and wake us up, I don't know what will. So I come here representing them and generations that are not yet born. Thank you.
Thank you all. Let me take a pause in our work here for a minute and work on some logistics. We're going to, I believe, lose a council quorum at 6. We have some amendments in front of us, and I know we have more people who are signed up to testify. So here's what I would suggest. First, we're going to take a 5-minute compassion break for everyone, including the city council, and then we're going to come back. I want to put this to you, and that is that we have the opportunity to act today or we have the opportunity to act later. If we act today, we'll deprive some of you of the opportunity to testify. If you really object to that and really feel like we must hear you today before we act, you should talk to our clerk and let her know that, and we'll see if there is still time to hear everyone today if we're going to try to act today. Secondly, then I want to, regardless, I want to come back, and I do want to act on the amendments today. So I want to put that to my council colleagues. I believe we should take action on both sets of amendments and both resolutions today. But I don't want to cut short the process needlessly. So let's take a 5-minute break. Let's come back and go to work on that. And again, my apologies to those who've signed up to speak. And if you really feel like a point you want to make hasn't been heard, let our clerk know. So we'll be back in 5 minutes and take it up then. Thank you.
I haven't heard anyone speak up on what I want to speak about, which is about the terrorism.
So you want to speak, so what's your name?
Edith Gillis.
Oh, Edith, your school's friend.
I haven't heard anyone talk about terrorism or about how it's harmful for our economy to have peace.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Close to the.
Okay, so you want to speak? Okay. Yes. All right, thank you.
I also want to get a quick point in, because I have to leave at 5:30 or so.
Where are you at on the list?
I'm right here, actually. And,
okay.
I want to mention the name.
And let me know if you want to speak or not. All right, you do? Okay. If you're here, we'll call you. Thank you.
one morning. But a week or two, but that's what I think is more respectful.
I think I might have been actually the next person. Maybe. I don't know. I think I saw my name. Yeah, Doctor.
Oh, Doctor.
Yeah, that's okay. Me. Am I next?
We will be in the next
Great.
And you do want to speak still?
I believe I'd like to withdraw. I'll throw what I have
to do. Oh, you can send that to me.
Okay.
I was going to ask if you had a rough ballpark of where I am. In
the sure, what's your name? Eric? Thank you.
I'll make sure that the mayor gets that. You're welcome. But I'm probably not going to get a call before 5:30, am I? I want to be at the wrong building. You're on North East Hall, right? Okay. Oh, let me
I can qualify myself for the office. I always come in early.
Oh, I
probably love it.
I have to leave at 5:30 for an appointment, so I don't think I'm going to be able to, because it's almost 5:30 now.
Okay. Yeah, it's 5:23 right now. Okay, what was your name?
Raquel.
Raquel.
Because I really wanted to make
that. Did you submit written testimony by chance?
Not written, no.
You could submit written testimony? They may not be voted. I think they're going to try to vote on
this one. Do you just do it online?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can either send it to me. Well, it's email, CC.
Email?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. The email. Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Yeah, because
sorry.
Then I can email. I can say, you know, they should use commercial industrial.
Well, yeah, I signed up, but I should have been up with it.
What's your name?
Peter Tenow. T-E-N-E-A-U.
Oh, and I saw your email. Yeah, you're on the next page. Do you still
want to
speak?
Real soon? Yeah, I do. You know, in listening, things invariably come up that you want to answer. You cut stuff out of your own, and you respond to what you've heard.
Yeah, I'll mark that you still want to speak.
Yeah, I do.
Rarely. Okay. Excuse me.
Yes, but
Hi. I represent a handful of folks in the building trades. They signed up, or I signed them up earlier.
What's your name?
Well, their names are Russ. We had Russ, we had Dave, and Dave Tischer.
You signed them up?
I did, yeah. And what was the third one? And it was they. Hold on a second. I had Russ Garnett, Willie Myers, and Dave Tischer. All three together, same handwriting, didn't call the address. There they are. So, Russ went home, but Joe Esmond would like to speak in his place. So, and we're, so Joe, so cross him out and put Joe Esmond. They would like to speak, and they were wondering how many pages back they are in the mix.
Yes, I'm still eager to do that. I'm just wondering why we're dragging our feet on the other one.
But this counts because I'm...
So, Nick, what do you want to do?
Okay. I would like to Myers and Dave Fisher. Yep, all three.
I'm not guaranteeing the order, but I'm going to take a minute.
Okay, and they're about the 10, 11 break or so. They're about a dozen. Yes.
Vote on it and set over the other one, in which case I will not consume.
Okay, well, I've done everything I can. So,
amendments or questions.
So you believe you can get to voting for it? It's different than ours. To the other one?
No.
Then if you're going to vote no today.
Oh, no, no, that was no. Yes.
Oh, all right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear you. It's not delayed for delay's sake. But you asked me my preference because in the last 24 hours I've been extremely diligent. And I'm getting to yes. And there's
that's where we're headed, and I'm always willing to.
Charlie, do you have my word? I'm not trying to subvert what I'm trying to get to yes. And you and I will have a conversation about that before we have the next hearing.
Okay. All right,
but I think if you, all I would ask, because the last person, like, he's obviously because he expressed this in an affirmative, yeah. And there are 60 people
here. Well, they're not, and I'm
on this other one, which I think we want to hear. And there is a virtue in here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.